Although we have an outline, but our fellowship, I hope, will be more free. The burden is really to share more concerning God's kingdom, because this is what God really wants to recover with all of us. Last night we saw God didn't waste any time in Genesis chapter 1 to immediately introduce to us the problem in this universe. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and that was no problem. But immediately in verse 2, God showed us there was a great problem that happened, especially on this planet Earth. Right. And the earth became a chaos. It's a chaos. What happened? Something happened. And in the scriptures, in a very hidden way, in a way hidden, the Lord revealed to us there was a rebellion through the archangel. And the pre-Adamic creation, we know that God has given the authority to the archangel at that time to rule. I believe it definitely is God's wisdom. Because many times I was thinking, Lord, why didn't you just go ahead and create men to start with and let men rule? And that would have solved the problem, right? Don't you think so? That is what we think. But we don't know the whole story. We don't know the whole story. I believe the angels will tell God, well, if you let us rule, we would have done a wonderful job. We would have done a much better job than human beings. Don't you think? Who do you think would do a greater job, the angels or men? So, God let the angel rule first. What happened? Boy, it's not only a problem, it was a great problem. The archangel, he became proud and he rebelled. He wanted to be like God. It's very clearly stated in Ezekiel 28. Yeah, he was full of wisdom, he was beautiful, wise, almost perfect, but not perfect, because only God is perfect. So pride had taken over the archangel. He was an angel of light. He was Lucifer, angel of light, and he fell. And the fall was great. So he became God's adversary, Satan, the devil, and his kingdom became an authority of darkness, terrible. So last night we saw what happened, right? There was chaos. And the Bible told us at least one third of the angelic being sided with him to rebel against God. One third, well, that's a lot. And all the creatures at that time on the earth also sided with him to rebel, because, well, Satan was at that time the authority over the whole earth. That is why the Lord addressed him as the prince of this world. Well, he didn't get this title by himself, definitely. It was God who set him to rule over this earth in the original creation. You know, by the way, the original creation, we don't know how long it was. You know, some people believe that this earth is only 6,000 years old, and that dinosaurs existed alongside Adam and Eve in those days. It's really, I don't know what's happening to our mind, right? And recently, I read in the news concerning a debate between the man who created or who built up a creationism museum. Have you read the news in MSN? His name is Mr. Ham, right? Oh, he challenged, there was a debate between him, who believes that this earth and is just 6,000 years old. Of course, the earth is more than 6,000 years old. Right? He had a debate with, I don't know, the other person's knight, right? Bill Nye. What a waste of time. The Bible never told us that. Yes, mankind, from Adam till now, it's 6,000 years old. But the creation was done before Adam's time. It was in the very, very beginning, which we didn't know when it was. So, well, this is what religion is. Fighting about how old this earth is. Would you like to argue with anybody? It's useless and it's hopeless. We are not into that. And the Bible is not into that. If the Lord wanted us to know how old this earth is, he would have told us, give us the date. But he just said, in the beginning. Oh, when is that beginning? I don't know when that beginning is. Do you know when? No, the Bible didn't say. And so you don't have to know, you don't have to guess, and we don't have to argue and debate about it. Right? So, anyway, just on passing, don't get into that kind of a debate. Forget about it. I know some Christians who still believe, I know personally Christians who believe it's 6,000 years old. That's good, believe it, that's fine with me. I don't care if it's 6,000 or 60,000 or 6 million years. It really doesn't matter, does it? Are we going to fight about it, argue about it, and split about it? Well, don't do that, okay? Don't get into such a crazy debate. Never. Don't even start it. I mention it because, you know, some people are stirring up, hey, you know, it is really, really 6,000 years and dinosaurs existed alongside Adam. So what? I'm glad if they did exist that Adam wasn't swallowed up by the dinosaurs. How come they're all gone and Adam is still there? Who would die first, Adam or the dinosaurs? Hard to say. So there is an endless debate. Endless debate. Oh, you can bring out 1,000 arguments. So, praise the Lord, we are not into that. But we need to see what happened. What happened is that there was a rebellion. The archangel totally failed. And not only failed, he was not even deceived by anybody. Right? He failed in himself through the pride that took over him. That's why pride is not good. Don't be proud. Remember the list, right? In Proverbs chapter 6. Remember the top of the list. What is the first point? Pride, a haughty look. God really hates a haughty look. And do you know why? What happened? Because of that history. You know what happened to the archangel? It was really terrible. Don't be proud. What do we have to be proud of? Nothing. Nothing. We have a lot of things to be ashamed of and nothing to be proud of. If you ask me, John, what do you have to be proud of? I said, nothing. But I have a lot of things to be ashamed of. But nothing to be proud of. May the Lord have mercy on us, right? So there you can really see after the rebellion, judgment came in. And after judgment, there was chaos. Everything on this earth became empty, void, tohu bohu, catastrophic because of judgment. So nothing mentioned in verse 2 is positive. Tohu bohu, the TB. Chaos. Darkness. No good. Darkness is never good in the Bible. Darkness. Do you love darkness? No, nobody likes darkness. What about abyss? Oh, abyss, terrible. That's not a good place to be. Right, abyss in the Bible. Oh, that's where all those dark things were imprisoned and kept. And it's an abyss. And the water of death, the judgment. Just like during the time of Noah, the flood came in and just killed everything. Death, the waters of death. All of these mentioned in verse 2 are terrible, terrible. Not at all positive, not only negative, but extremely negative. Terrible. You think God is going to create all this? All this is created by God. The earth, God created a chaotic mass of, I don't know what, a fireball with an abyss and full of darkness and death. Is that what God would create? Definitely not. Would you create such a thing? I'm going to invest $20 million for you to create something. And out came a dark abyss full of death and chaotic mass. People will look at his, what did you do? Where did you go to school? MIT or even Harvard, MSU? Or, what did you study? In University of the Abyss or darkness? You think, oh, God will create such a thing? You know, sorry, I have to convince you all. No, verse 2 is has nothing to do with God's creation, but everything to do with God's judgment. Yep. So the whole earth today is in shambles, in a terrible state. And that devil is still running around. Still running around. Look at this earth today. Where is righteousness? Where is peace? Where is truth? Nothing there. You cannot see anything. Right? Everything is a chaos and getting worse and getting worse. It seems human beings even lost their senses. Right? My wife showed me a piece of news yesterday about the president of Uganda. The president of Uganda, he ordered all the gays to be locked up. Oh, praise the Lord. He said, we don't want our race to be, what? What word did he use? Huh? Huh? Yes. What kind of behavior? Deviant behavior. Not normal anymore. Perverted. And of course, some people may be protesting, so he says, unless the scientists can prove to me that these kind of people were born genetically like that. And he had 21 scientists there, and none could prove that they were born like that. And they all says those things are acquired and can be relearned. That means you can be healed from that. Huh. So he says, the law applies. Lock them up. Imprison them. Isn't that sound? That's great. I congratulate the president of Uganda. Why is it that people are misusing the freedom and human rights? This is okay, that is okay, everybody can have their rights. And I was told that the mayor of New York, and that's the first time in the history, called a conference with all the prisoners and asked them how the policeman and the police department is doing. What do you think those prisoners will say? Oh, they're doing a great job locking us up. What is happening to this world? You tell me what is happening to this world. Who voted that mayor? Did you vote for him? Oh, I'm glad you didn't. Who in the right mind would do that? Would you, if you were the mayor, asking those criminals to come here and give me the advice, what can we do better with the Department of Police? Oh, he would say, first rules, no guns. Second rules, no handcuff. That would be better. Your police department would be better. And thirdly, no police cars. And thirdly, reduce your forces. If I were mayor, the boss of mafia, that's what advice I'm going to give you, mayor. Yeah. And the best thing of all, Mr. Mayor, is abolish the police department. That will save you a lot of money. Good advice. Mr. Mayor, I thought, what's happening to this nation? What's happening? Where is our proper reasoning? What happened? Darkness. This is darkness. This is chaos. Darkness and chaos. Oh, what's happening? Now, what about we in the church life today? No. You know, when I'm saying this, I'm just trying to prove to you that this earth, like what the Bible says, what John said, the whole earth lies in the hands of the wicked one. 整个世界都落在那个恶者的手里，越来越乱，越来越糟。So we need to see there's a big problem right in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. God didn't waste any time to tell us there's a great problem. But although there is a great problem, God will not give it up. God doesn't give up his plan. He knew that it was going to happen like that. So the Spirit of God immediately was introduced in verse 2. This is wonderful. That's the positive thing. The Spirit of God, the hovering Spirit. The recovering Spirit, the Spirit of God, immediately was introduced there in verse 2. You need to appreciate that. Just in a couple of verses, God disclosed almost everything that is necessary for us to know. Who can write such verses? We give so many, we give 200 messages and said nothing. God gave us two verses and told us everything. How about that? You know, I know people who like to give long, long, long message like rubber band and stretch it. Although the rubber band is just so short, you can stretch it so long, but you let it go, pshit, it becomes so little. We use so many words and said nothing. But God, in His living word, uses two verses and tells us everything. So may the Lord open our eyes to really see what is in God's heart. It is very important for us to see. Don't just read a Bible without light, without revelation, and don't be distracted by so many things. Right? We need to come right to the point here. And immediately you see the Spirit of God. And when you touch this matter of the Spirit of God, you have to open up the whole Bible to see what the Spirit of God does. And especially with us today, we are living more so than ever in the age of the Spirit. You need to emphasize the Spirit today. In reality, not in doctrine, in reality, the Spirit of God now dwells in us. To do what? To do exactly what He was doing in Genesis chapter 1. Except in Genesis chapter 1, it was compressed. It was compressed in one or two chapters, whereas the whole Bible will just open up what the Spirit of God is doing and is still doing within all of us here today in the church life. You need to see this. So if you don't see this, oh, I know Genesis chapter 1. Oh, I know you know Genesis chapter 1. But how come you're not conscious of God's kingdom, what God is doing? God's work today is to eliminate this power and authority of darkness. And the whole Bible tells us, if God were to do that work by Himself, it would be very easy. Yeah, He could just blow on the devil and blow him into the lake of fire, and that's it. Finish. The end. That would have been too easy for God. But that's not the way God wants to do things. He doesn't think like you and I are thinking. Right, if I don't like Moses, eliminate him. Just like Putin. Ah, that guy made a mistake there, and the light in the Olympic didn't shine one light. The poor engineer, he was gone. Finished. You read in the news. Oh, goodness sake. I'm glad God is not like Putin. Terrible, terrible. God's plan, even before the foundation of the world, even before Job chapter 38, God's plan is to use man and to let man rule over His creation. That's why God didn't take care of Satan, because God wants you and I today, in the church life, as God's people, to deal with the devil. And this is wonderful. Now, the question now is, are you afraid of him or is he afraid of you, the devil? 是你怕鬼又是鬼怕你啊? 主耶稣来的时候是来赶鬼的。 那我们呢,是鬼赶我们,还是我们赶鬼啊?Who is afraid of who? Are you afraid of the devil? Oh, when I was a little boy, I was afraid of darkness, I was afraid of the devil. Now today, it's my sports. It's my Olympic sports, I step on him. I'm here. Cast him out. Cast him out. So who is afraid of who today? Is the power of darkness, are they afraid of the church in Toronto? Or is the church in Toronto pretty much like him in many ways? than one. If we Christians are in the flesh and in religion, just like Judaism, in Judaism, you think the devil is afraid of Judaism? The devil was using Judaism, the legitimate religion during the time of the Lord Jesus, to fight against Jesus. Can you imagine that? You know, I couldn't understand that. Today, who is destroying us here in a free world? Yes, in a way, we are destroying ourselves. Right. So eventually it won't be the terrorists, it'll be just the mayor. Oh, Lord Jesus. Sad thing, sad thing. Right. So we need to have our eyes open today. We need to have our eyes open today. Right. God's purpose is to use man. That is why in this 6 days of God's creation, at the very end in the 6 days, God created man. Let us make man. Now, man becomes a very special being, human being. Let us make man and let him have dominion. This is God's plan. This is God's plan. This is why Satan hates men and he wants to destroy humanity. And so we today, as believers, born again, it's not just to be saved. It's to be saved for the kingdom. The whole Bible tells us that. Let us read a few verses. Yesterday we read in chapter 3 concerning John the Baptist. When he started to preach, what did he say? In verse 2, repent, for the kingdom of heavens is at hand. Right? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then the Lord Jesus, actually he preached the same, right? He preached the same, repent, for the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. Right? The Lord Jesus talked about it in the same way. Then let's just jump quickly to John chapter 3, to be born again. Yes. Verse 5. Maybe verse 3. Let's start in verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot be saved. Unless one is born again, he cannot be saved. Now, let me ask you, Tiff, when you preach the gospel, you need to be born again. Did you act so that you can see the kingdom of God? No, you do. Because many times when we preach, you need to be born again. It's for salvation, just to have life. Be born again so that your spirit will be made alive, right? Right? Don't you know you have a spirit? So you need to be born again so that you can receive his life. But you omit to see the kingdom because it is not in your program. It's missing. You ask the programmer. It's missing there. You forgot to program in, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You change it into salvation, or he cannot see life. He cannot be born again to receive the life. There's a flaw in your program. there's a flaw in your program. You both are programmers. Please change the program. Correct the program. Unless you're born again, you cannot even see the kingdom. That means to be born again is not just for salvation, it's for the kingdom. You sure now, Victoria? Yeah. Amen. To be born again is for the kingdom. And if you're not born again, you cannot even see it, let alone entering it. Verse 5 talks about entering, not just seeing. Most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit. Now, it is more specific now. Water in the Spirit. You need to be baptized to be put to death. And the Spirit has come in, bring the life into you so that you can what? Be saved. Be saved. Maria, are you saved? No. Enter into the kingdom. So where are you today? Very sure of that. Enter into the kingdom. Unless he's born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter. He cannot enter. My, to be born again is to bring you into the kingdom. Not just to be saved, but to enter into the kingdom for God's kingdom. So we are all born again, not just to be sons of God, but to be sons of the kingdom. And this is exactly what a parable talks about. The seeds are the sons of the kingdom. We are the sons of the kingdom, right? Because our God is the king. So praise the Lord. You really need to see that everything is related to the kingdom. What about the building of the church in Matthew chapter 16? Right? I will build my church. I will build my church in Matthew 16, verse 16 here. Right? Verse 18. And I also say to you that you are a stone, you're Peter, and on the rock, which is Christ, I will build my church. I will build my cathedral. No, you're going to build a cathedral? You think the Lord is going to build a cathedral? Huh? What do you think the Lord is building? A cathedral? A meeting hall? You know, I've seen so many Christians that are so much into building of meeting halls. I wonder why. And at the end, who is going to own it? Especially after your fight, and you're going to split, or who's going to own the meeting hall? Well, that's going to be a big fight. Do you think God is into building cathedrals? I will build my cathedral. Oh, it doesn't fit, right? I will build my church. I will build my Sunday morning services. How about that? I will build my Sunday morning meetings, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail. Oh, my goodness. I have seen the gates of Hades prevail every Sunday because all the saints are bored and sitting there and sleeping and tired, and you're telling me the gates of Hades cannot prevail. You cannot even overcome your slumber. The gates of Hades doesn't even have to do anything because oh, Lord Jesus. I know when I say this, people get offended. But what do you want me to say? The church is not just meetings. I'm not saying meeting is not important. But a church is a million times more than just a meeting. It's God's kingdom. It's God's kingdom. and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Right? You think a Sunday morning meeting is just giving a message, and then everybody goes home and live their own lives. Right. And the gates of Hades, praise the Lord. Death is mentioned, Hades. The abyss, the gates of Hades, shall not prevail against it. And he continued to say, and I will give you the keys of salvation. I will give you the salvation. How about that? No, Moses, what?
The keys of the kingdom of heaven.
Do you have it? Do you have it in the church? In Toronto, and those who are listening to the live streams, Europe, wherever you are, I don't know. I don't know. Only God knows who's listening. I'm not God. But I'd like to ask the churches, are you aware of the keys of the kingdom? We read these verses, I don't know how many times. Nobody cares for the keys. And if somebody says, where are the keys? I don't know where the keys are. Where are the keys? And then we are complaining, no doors open in the church. Only little mice holes and no doors. Where are the keys? Where are the keys? No wonder you can't open any doors because no keys. How can you open the doors when they are locked? And then we complain, it's so hard. It's so hard, people. Oh, they won't believe. Oh, we got a thousand reasons because you don't have the keys. Before the days of Pentecost, before Peter got the keys, he couldn't unlock any doors. You think you could? But when the Holy Spirit was poured out, the keys was given to him. Well, he opened the door, and how many people were saved the first day? 3,000. In what, 30 years? 300 years? In one day, within 24 hours, even less than 24 hours, within 2 hours. I don't think his message was that long. Within 30 minutes. The keys was used, the door was open, 3,000. Now, we, given 30 years, 3 in 30 years, 3 in 30 years, what? They came in through the keyholes. They came through the keyholes. Or maybe through the space under the door that was squeezed in. No wonder we're complaining it's so hard. It's so hard. And the Lord did say it's so hard for a rich man to enter through the eye of a needle than a camel. So we complain. We use that as an excuse. It's so hard. But God says, with man it's impossible, but with God, he has the key, of course it's possible. Then why don't you ask the Lord who has the keys of the kingdom? His authority. Sometimes we don't have authority. That's why nothing happens. Not your authority, it's his authority that opens the door. Yeah. It's because of the lack of consciousness of the kingdom, and we don't seek for it, we don't ask for it, and we don't live a life that is worthy of it. Just like what 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, Paul says, you have to walk a life that is worthy of the kingdom. Amen. because we are called into the kingdom. So our living must be worthy of the kingdom. Must be worthy of the kingdom. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Wow, what a power. But where is it? Where is it? Where is it? We give all kinds of crazy excuses. Oh Lord, we don't know what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the authority of darkness. The whole principalities and powers. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us our warfare is a warfare because it's a matter of the kingdom, so there is the warfare. Our warfare is against the spiritual darkness in the heavenly places. You don't bind them as they can do whatever they please. And you cannot lose the captives. We have Psalm 126 in the Songs of Ascent. And you don't apply it. I know. Many of the places, well, they are enjoying the Songs of Ascent, but when it comes to 126, captives? Who is captive? Who is capturing them and hold them there in chains? Yes. Don't just say religion. Who is behind religion? It's the power of darkness. So if we as a church today do not have the power and the authority and the consciousness of the kingdom to deal with the power behind the darkness, what can you do? Nothing. That's why you try to convincing ways. You try to do all kinds of convincing ways. Good food, a nice meeting hall, and a nice choir, and beautiful things here. You become a captivity, a place of captivity. Right. So, this is the kingdom. The matter of the kingdom can be applied to everywhere. You have the authority, the church, and the churches must have the experience of this wonderful authority to bind and to loose. Bind the power of darkness. Yes, cast them out. We should tell them, if I'm here, you're out. We cannot coexist. Okay? If I'm here, you're not here. If you're here, I'm not here. So it depends on who's here. If I'm here, then you're not. If you're here, I'm not. We cannot coexist. This is the kingdom. This is the kingdom. May the Lord have mercy on us. May the Lord have mercy on us to see, right? Whatever you bind on earth, well, this is a powerful force here. Whatever you bind, this should not be a doctrine, this should be a reality. And if our binding power is non-existence, we need to put a question mark there in our own heart and say, Lord, what is wrong with us? Are we representing your kingdom or not? Do we have your power or not? Are we right or not? Are we your church or are we not your kingdom? If we are not, then of course we don't have the power. The embassy here, the U.S. embassy here in Canada, should have the power of Washington, D.C., the White House, right? Suppose the U.S. embassy here, if it's my embassy, I'm a U.S. citizen, I'll open up a U.S. embassy here. Do you think I have the power to negotiate with your government? I'm an American citizen. And I open up my own American, John So's American embassy. You think anybody here in Canada is going to recognize my embassy? And I can use all the power I can and nobody's going to listen to me. Huh? You think anyone is going to listen to me? I can print my own diplomatic plate in my car. You think what's going to happen to me? They're going to put me somewhere and lock me up. If not in prison, somewhere in some kind of a hospital. Send me back home. I'm not sure USA wants me. Well, where is that authority and where is that power? I mean it. And I'm asking all the churches right here. I'm challenging all the brothers in all the churches to consider this matter. Don't think you're elders and it's okay. Elders? What elders? Powerless elders? Is it just a position that we have? Or do we have really the consciousness and the reality of the kingdom? The doctrine about a kingdom, you can forget it. Okay, you can forget about the doctrine of the kingdom. We don't need that doctrine, but we need that reality. We need that reality. And we need to have the life to back it up. We need that life. 那个生活也那个生命. Because without it, we are nothing. And if the devil is not afraid of us, business as usual, that's not good. That's not good. That is definitely not good, not acceptable. No. So I hope that you all could realize that this is a very serious matter. It is not something to be taken lightly, and I hope I'm not speaking it here in a light way, but that the Lord will stir up our spirit, stir up our heart to show us, this is the greatest, most serious matter in the whole universe. This is God's work. This is God's goal, and this is God's work. It is not something that we are just doing, I don't know what. Many times I don't even know what a church is doing. All you care for is a nice message. It's not even a nice message. Sometimes, like I said, it's a rubber band message. But we really need to get to the point and to know what is in God's heart. The kingdom, praise the Lord. And then after resurrection, I'll just give you one more verse before we have our pause, because I only have 1 minute. I want to be on time. It's also the kingdom. It's also a kingdom exercise to be on time. In Acts chapter 1, verse 3, the Lord stayed 40 days. What was he talking about? Salvation. In Acts chapter 1, verse 3, to whom he also presented himself alive, praise the Lord, not dead. Don't present yourself dead. Alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs. I really like this. We need to have a lot of infallible proofs. Don't just talk about empty doctrines. I want to see infallible proofs. How about that, brothers? Amen.
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 Not just some wishy-washy evidence, but infallible proofs. Being seen, praise the Lord. Don't talk about unseen things. I don't like to see. Say, we are wonderful, we are saved, but I don't see anything. That's not good. Okay? What you don't see is not there. Don't talk about spiritual things being invisible. No such thing, no. And then being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to salvation. Everybody's laughing again. Why? Why are you laughing? What was the Lord speaking about during these 40 days? The kingdom of God. including salvation. But salvation is for a kingdom. Speaking concerning the things of the kingdom, and if we have really time to go through some verses in the book of Acts, even all the apostles, and Paul at the very end, he was just talking about the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. May the Lord have mercy on us. Time is up.